This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local. This is the show where we do what we say and we lean into what's going on here locally. And with all due respect to the state, federal government, world issues, we want to talk about what's going on here in Greater Green Bay. And it just so happens we picked up a great sponsor, and I want to give them a little plug, Nicolet Bank. I mean, that's a local bank. They have 57 branches. Started in 2002, and I was just getting my life started politically at that time. So these guys have been so good to the city. And Nicolet, and if you're not there, you should be. I mean, their mission, as they say, is to serve communities. And I love that. Engage employees, very important. Build a strong family within our organization and have a positive impact on the lives we touch along the way. That's an awesome mission statement, isn't it? And if every business would do that, and a lot of them do, but not enough do it, if they were like Nicolet Bank, we'd have even a better community than we have. But we have a great community, and we're going to talk about that. One of the reasons we have a great community, as I say many times, is because of the people in this community. Our special guest today is Ahmad Rivera Wagner. Now, Ahmad, you may remember, was on here for just a short period of time. He was running for office, State Assembly District 90, which is pretty much the city of Green Bay. I live in that district. Kyle lives in that district. I'm sure, Con, you live in that district as well. It's, give me the number before I introduce you. 70, 800, 200?
What, it's about 60,000.
60,000. 60,000 people voted for this guy. Well, not all 60,000. And the majority of people, the majority of the 60,000 people voted for Ahmad, and he won his election. He is now a representative. You're not sworn in yet, right?
Nope. So rep-elect.
You're the rep-elect.
Yes.
Okay. And congratulations to you. So Ahmad Rivera Wagner, welcome.
Thank you for having me. As I've said to so many people, it is kind of the honor of a lifetime to be a formerly homeless kid who used to look at city halls and state houses as places that we could never be. To be able to represent this community in Madison is truly an honor of a lifetime, and I'm excited to get to work.
And let's talk a little bit about you. This is, now that you're elected, you're going to be a representative for at least 2 years, and pretty much as long as you want. You guys don't have term limits, although you should. But but what motivated you? You talked a little bit about your upbringing was tough. But you kind of are a little bit of a transplant.
I am.
No, like, 100%. Like a recent one.
Relatively. We've been here 8-9 years.
Yeah, talk to some people in Green Bay. Okay. You just got here. That's what I'm saying.
So the quick version is I married the son of dairy farmers. We met over craft beer and our mutual love of the Packers. I grew up in New England and did various types of things. But at the time when I met my husband, I was doing politics, and my joke among all my friends was I was the only Packers fan among in New England Nation, or Pats Nation, as they like to call it.
Right.
And so met this guy, not knowing that I would ever see him again. And he asked me a strange question about football. And I said, you know what? I can tell you my deep secret. I've been a Packers fan my entire life. They're community owned, things I believed at the time. They have a passionate a passionate fan base that all over the world, and it lives in the smallest city to host an NFL team. And he just stared at me and he said, "I'm from Wisconsin. My family owns a dairy farm in Littleton, right outside of Madison. And the date that was supposed to be an hour ended up three, and then 3 years later, he proposed to me, and we ended up here in Green Bay, Wisconsin."
Well, I'm glad you're here, and we look forward to you. There's a lot to be done, and I want to talk a little bit about what needs to be done, or what I think needs to be done, and I want to talk about what you think needs to be done, and I hope there's some parallels there. But your background. Let's talk about your background, how that prepared you. And I think that homeless, what you're talking about, and I honestly, I didn't know that. I do work with homeless people, you know, every day. Mm-hmm. Those are good people.
Right.
And they need to believe that they can do, like you said, you know, maybe political, but they can get great jobs and be a leader.
Absolutely.
Out there. And we have on Monday nights at the homeless shelter, we have what's called Community Conversations. Mm-hmm. And I lead that conversation. And just because you're really not homeless, they're like between homes. Right. I mean, they're at our place. Right. They're not sleeping outside. And we just talk about everything. The infrastructure of the city. We talk about that new development that the city is celebrating, or groundbreaking, I should say. We'll be celebrating that in a couple of years. And I think they need to know that, because they're going to be paying taxes,
absolutely,
working and contributing to this city, mm-hmm, in the not too distant future, you know, year and a half, depending on who they are. So I think they have, people say, oh, you know, I feel for the homeless. Well, when you are,
yeah,
I think it's just a little bit different. Yep. There's some politicians who really talk about, and they come from families of wealth. It's, yep, like they really don't know. And I agree. I want to say I do think they care.
Yes.
But nobody understands it like you.
Right.
And so tell me a little bit more about what prepared you to be a state representative.
Well, I'll tell you a little bit more on that, but I want to, you know, kind of thank you for talking about what it's like to experience some of the most marginalization and make it out. And so my mom had me at 16, it resulted in her getting kicked out of her house. And so we experienced homelessness similar to the folks that you're helping, which there were days that I slept in the car with my mom. Mm-hmm. We were in and out of shelters. And it wasn't because she wasn't working. It was that work often wasn't paying enough for us to maintain rent and, mm-hmm, get baby food and things of that nature. She was 17, 18 years old, trying to navigate having a two-year-old. And so many, you know, a lot of trials and tribulations happened. A couple things changed our life. One was my mom ended up getting into a program called Habitat for Humanity, where we physically built the house that my mom still lives in with strangers who we didn't know who they voted for or their faith or their background, but they wanted to commit to doing something powerful, which is giving us a stable home. And so we had so many people who helped us build the house that I physically put nails in to live. And that changed the trajectory of our lives.
I want to give a shout out to Habitat. Know them very, very well in the greater Green Bay area. And those giving you the keys were some of the best ceremonies. And the mayor does a million things, but I forgot how many we did. We were counting. And what I like about that is that truly is a gift from the community.
Right. And the reason I wanted to tell you that story is that is why I got into public service. Because the reason I have the job I'm about to have, even the job I have as a chief of staff for the mayor, being able to get into public service was because I witnessed what it could look like when, mm-hmm, people come together of all different backgrounds, with government help, with nonprofit help, with people of faith and people of all different backgrounds, can come do an outcome-driven process that can actually make a difference in people's lives, and not just in that one moment, but have long-term positive effects.
Oh, yeah.
And so I got into government and public service because I wanted to make sure that families like mine, or people who might fall into situations like families like mine, could have help and support. And my hope is that no one ever falls into the problems that me and my family fell into. And so what really prepared me, I can talk about my academic background and all my jobs that I've had, and I'm very proud of that. But what motivated me to get into public service is when you experience how tough this world can be, a little help can go a really long way. And imagine if our government was focused on taking care of each other and not setting up us against each other.
Okay. I want to say the thing I always liked about Habitat is it's not the government. That is a public-private partnership.
Right.
I mean, and that's how we move communities ahead, to have both. And it's just great when either the bank or somebody helps sponsor it.
And the city would give them the parcel of land for free.
Right.
So it's a combination of different groups coming together to solve a problem. Yeah. And I think that's the answer to a lot of our problems.
Right. And your mom is still in the house?
She's still in the house.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So it is... It's, you know, she's still living in New England, even though she's debating on moving to Green Bay.
Really?
Every time she comes to visit, she's like, I see why you fell in love with this community. But we still live in the house that we built with a bunch of strangers.
Yeah. That says a lot about you. It says a lot about your community. And I'd like to thank, you know, you served as the mayor's chief of staff for what, 2 years, three?
Five.
And you feel that same vibe here?
Yeah, and this is the reason why I ran. We're neighbors. So you, when I'm about to say, you're going to probably know. Not everyone agrees votes for the same person on election day, but my neighbors take care of each other. When we first moved in here, our neighbor who didn't even know my name brought Christmas cookies, and just because she thought it was nice to make sure that we felt welcome. My other neighbor puts out a water bowl for my two golden doodles because she just wants to make sure that we're supported as having pets. My neighbor, who I know we don't agree with politically, we shovel each other's driveways if someone doesn't get to it fast enough. There is something so beautiful and genuine about this community. It has done so much, frankly, with so little from the state government. Imagine what we can do. And so I ran because I thought those values were more important than the division and chaos that was coming, and that we should be focusing more on what we're really good at and how we can get more help and support from the state government to improve these programs, approaches, and tactics, and invest in those kind of values.
So, okay, I get all that, and I think that's great. And I would agree with the neighborhood. I would agree with the people of Green Bay, and I really appreciate your background. Were there some, besides working together and the state doing more, like, were there any specific issues that drove you? Like,
so my number one issue is housing. So this is good. We're going to be a theme. We know that Green Bay is doing something incredible. We have a very low unemployment rate, but we have a housing crisis nonetheless. So Green Bay is much more like the state of Wisconsin than it is about any other city of its size or even bigger. And we needed to have smart, thoughtful investments that were public-private partnerships, that were coming from different sectors to actually solve a housing crisis in a community that people actually want to live in. And what we were seeing is that there was a role for government to play, and there was a role for government to get out of the way as well. So to me, it was a perfect encapsulation of values about taking care of people, but that some of these solutions aren't just going to be government. It's going to be government getting out of the way. And so housing has been the cornerstone of why I ran to solve our housing crisis here in Green Bay and across the state of Wisconsin.
We're going to get to that. I want to talk about that $4 billion you're sitting on.
Yes.
And I agree with housing. We have realtors that I have another radio show, and we have sponsors that are realtors, and it's really supply and demand problem. I mean,
correct,
it's very, very basic, simple economics.
Absolutely.
And that affects prices. We all know and learned. We're going to be back. We're going to talk a little bit more about that housing because I'm on board with you. Ahmad Rivera Wagner, representative-elect?
Representative-elect.
I want a proper title. Representative-elect, District 90. We're going to be right back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, our special in-house guest. And I love when you guys come in-house because I can look you in the eye and kind of get a read on, is this guy telling the truth? So far, so good, Ahmad. You're doing great. Ahmad Rivera Wagner, who is the representative-elect. That means he hasn't been sworn in. He won the race, handedly, for District 90, which is 66,000 people in Green Bay. Green Bay is 107,000, but it is obviously the majority of the city of Green Bay. You ran for office. You talked about your background. We're talking about key issues, and housing is up there with you. But before we get into the issues you're going to tackle, tell me a little bit about the campaign, because I think there's people who can aspire to that and that I think would be interested in politics, yet some of the stuff we see on TV isn't
right.
Fun.
No.
Is that the word?
That's okay.
Anyway, but what was the most challenging part of your campaign, and you know, how'd you overcome it? Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, as you noted earlier, you know, I was the chief of staff for the mayor. So it's a job that I absolutely loved, a job that had me doing all kinds of really exciting things for the city. When I announced, I was still full-time working, and then on the nights and weekends, because you cannot cross those two things, campaigning for several months. So I think the hardest thing is when, you know, I'm married, I have two great dogs, I'm having a full-time job, and now I'm running for office. To balance that, those dynamics that the people closest to your life have to sacrifice something too, and I had to sacrifice something, which is basically sleep. Doing those two things at the same time was tough. But I think that sometimes tough things are worth it, that to represent this community required to kind of, you need a little bit of tough skin to do it. So that was the hard part. But I will tell you what the best part was, is that spending time actually talking to new neighbors, friends, colleagues, people, the stories I got to hear at the doors or on the phone or getting stopped in the street, hearing why this community is just so incredible and worthwhile to represent, that some of the most divisive times that we've seen over the last 4 years are just not reflective of what people deeply want here. And it was inspiring. I mean, I've met people whose families were wrecked by mental health issues and the help that they could not get from the court system. We had people struggling with families struggling with fentanyl and a drug overdose. We had people trying to find the next house, their next dream house, but couldn't find it because it took 2 years to find their first home. So there really just was these amazing stories of people who've done a lot with a little, and with a little bit more help and support, they can make a difference. So toughest was the schedule. The best part was talking to the people.
I can agree on both, you know, and I've had 10 of those.
Yeah. Get it.
That balance is tough, but it's one of those things like you're in high school, keep your eye on the prize. I'm in it to win it, you know, that kind of thing. And like, don't get it in unless you want to win.
That's right.
A friend of mine got into it to help his business. Kind of free advertising, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, hey, everybody knows who I am. I'm not going to win this thing, but. You know, I got to get my name out there, real estate or something or law. But people who are really committed to it will win.
Yes. Well, yes.
I think they will. I think usually the best person wins.
You know,
I can say that because I'm 10-0, but I don't want to talk about any particular race, but I kind of believe that a little bit that at the end of the day, you know, you might not win by a lot, but I think usually the best person wins. But that's personal thing. Let's move on.
Well, I will say this. I think one of the best things about democracy is the more that you put in it, the more you get out of it.
Right.
And I think that speaks to your point.
Right. So the needs of our district are housing. There's needs of the state, and I want to talk about this in a lot more detail, but you know, reproductive rights.
Absolutely.
Legalizing weed, which Khan wants very bad.
I do too.
Things that are on the state level, but I want to go back to the district.
Yeah.
How do you marry those two?
Well, here's what I tell folks. I think my job isn't necessarily to be the representative of Wisconsin. My job is to be as militantly and pro-Green Bay as possible. And I think the solutions that we're looking for are applicable across the state, whether that is mechanisms for funding and shared revenue increases or transportation dollars or thinking through transportation utilities for road infrastructure or funding our public schools or making sure that people feel welcomed and supported and have fundamental rights. What works in Green Bay can work elsewhere. And maybe everyone else can't tell that story. Mm-hmm. I'm not running to represent all of the state. I'm running to make sure that Green Bay can tell its story and get its support. But I think what's really unique about Green Bay is that what is working here can work elsewhere when we have the right tools and supports from the state.
And the right people.
And the right people. That's a fair point.
That's critical to moving the ball. But when it comes to our district, you're kind of new. And sometimes government has a pecking order. I got to be honest with you.
That's fair.
Okay. I don't know. It doesn't on the city council.
Right.
Some people wanted it to have a pecking order. And I would say to the new people, your button is just as good as theirs.
That's right. That's right.
But it seems like in Madison, you know, this caucusing that there is a pecking order. And are you afraid of that? Have you talked about it? You thought about it?
You know, I don't disagree with you. I will tell you the machinations of Madison, I'm already can tell you I'm not necessarily a fan. I think there's a little bit too much focus on Madison politics, you know, and this is, you know, I'm not saying I'm a both sides person, but there's a little bit of like, let's talk about all these other issues that aren't actually impacting people right now in reality. Am I worried about that? Absolutely. I think I've made it clear to my colleagues and the way that I ran is my job is to be pro Green Bay, even if I upset people, and be very clear about what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, and making sure that people of my community are aware of that. I think there's going to be some room. I think just to give you an example, I've already met with Representative-elect Benjamin Franklin. I've met with Representative Stefan. We already have some shared goals and policies that we're going to go together on, from housing to covering the cost of public safety for the draft. There really is room and possibility to solve problems, and I'm trying to make sure that we do that handily. And I saw that happen at the city council.
Different.
Fair.
So I want to know what are the biggest challenges in working across the aisle? I have my own personal belief, but I'd like to hear from you.
Well, I think, you know, I always think that we sometimes operate in politics, we can operate from assumptions instead of getting to know people. And like I said earlier, I've taken the time to meet various people who represent either Green Bay or the areas of Green Bay, because I think they understand that there's going to be issues that happen in Alloway that matter in Green Bay. Right. And I've already seen lots of agreement around too much bureaucracy for building housing, for example. There's a lot of alignment there. I want to, even if it sounds naive, deeply focus on the areas of agreement that will have a real impact for not only Green Bay, but other places. And I think this moment allows that. We'll see. I could be completely proven wrong, and Madison could make this very idealistic, hopeful man possible. But I remember 4 years ago when people thought the city council could never vote on a unanimous thing with the mayor of Green Bay. And we've seen that from the Packers to building housing, that there is even room of some of the most tense debates for agreement. And if we can do that here locally, I truly believe we can do that in Madison.
And I think we've got people who are willing to do that in our district. I don't know. I read names, but I don't know 99 people who you're going to be with or the 33 senators. But it seems like people in this area would like to work together and, you know, forget the initial after your name. But I want to talk more about the issues when we get back, because there are some things that are a little bit partisan. And I'm just wondering how you're going to deal with all that. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We have our in-house representative-elect Ahmad Rivera Wagner, District 90. We'll be right back.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com. City on rock and
roll. From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to Lean Local. We are talking with Ahmad Rivera Wagner, who in the community of Green Bay, 60-70% of the city of Green Bay that he represents, was just recently elected as a state representative. And he'll be going down to Madison. When do you guys get sworn in?
January 6th.
Oh, January 6th. All right, well, that's coming up.
3-4 weeks, yeah.
Anyway, that's going to be exciting.
My mom's flying out. My husband's coming up. We have some people from Green Bay going up. And like I said, you know, I'm very lucky, and maybe not everyone knows my background, but growing up the way I did, to be able to be in this gorgeous Capitol building representing this community really just is an honor of a lifetime.
And that building's cool.
It's court. It's
I like the white on that.
It was like, it's
the
cap.
That's like the Capitol.
Right? Yeah.
It's like the Capitol.
I mean, you probably know this, but oftentimes in movies, they will actually use the Madison and Capitol
ours
instead of the DC Capitol because it optically looks better. Yeah. So,
and that, you know, and I'm sure you'll be invited to the governor's mansion?
We are being invited to the governor's mansion, which almost feels surreal, to be honest. That's not why I got in this, but it is.
No, but you know, why not?
Right.
You know, you're going to see that and just don't be looking at living in that environment. You know, we elected you to represent us, but I'm sure there's people get down and say, okay, how many years before I'm sitting in that chair? So anyway, that doesn't seem like your thing.
No.
Do you? Let me ask you before I want to get into these issues, but you're young.
Ish.
You look down the road. Do you like the state? Do you like the United States government? I don't want to interview you, but people would ask me that all the time. What's next? And I'm like, you know what? Mayor. That's I never ran. And look, I don't know if I would have won, but I'm just saying I was asked to do things. And that's where my skill set was good for that. Right. Yeah. And I'm just curious as to you, like I said, young guy. And
well, I would like to just make it to getting sworn in. That's the first part. The second is everything I love and everything I want to do is already here in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And I don't have, frankly, I already think the commute is going to be the worst part of this job. But the best part of it is representing this community. Everything I want to do, every person that I deeply love and I want to represent is already in this community. And so I don't foresee me doing much outside of it.
Okay, that's awesome. So let's talk about some of the policies, some of the things that we're looking at, the priorities for your district, for our community, the local issues. What are the most pressing for you as the representative, but do they parallel what you heard at the doors?
For me, it did. So one of the reasons why housing, yes, I'm passionate about it and I can, you know, I know it like the back of my hand and my background's actually in housing policy. We would hear families. So we were talking about parents who have adult children saying that some of my kids are living in my very nice Green Bay Packer basement because they can't find an apartment or housing here in Green Bay.
These are kids who've
are 20,
30, okay, right.
Yeah, who have good jobs.
I would
jobs.
Agree that's a segment we don't talk about a lot,
right.
Except make jokes about it,
right.
But that's serious.
But they were like, they can't actually even find housing. They want to stay in the area. They're looking to do that. And this came up all the time.
Right.
The second thing that came up a lot was that families often talked about the mental health issues they were seeing connected to, from homelessness to family members, connected to some of those issues, connected to drugs and other ailments and concerns. And so people really had mental health. I had a man crying on his porch telling me how his father is suffering from such deep dementia. And when they tried to get him committed so he can get some help, the threshold for that commitment was so high that even though he was a danger to himself and sometimes a danger to his family, they couldn't do anything to help him. And so he basically, they tried to help him in his house and how that's been an economic an emotional burden for him. And we both were bawling in the summer, right outside, a little outside of downtown. And, you know, that was really powerful. And then we had folks right here in the area talking about them trying to help and support people who are experiencing homelessness and the stories, trials and tribulations of them going through that and how that was connected to some of those issues, connected to mental health and housing. So these things were very connected. I heard a lot about public schools. Making sure our public schools.
I want to talk about public schools.
Yeah, about our public schools being funded, about teachers making good pay. I heard about how can we help reduce property taxes? What does it look like where we have to keep going up?
That was my door.
Okay. and them saying that with all this money, why aren't they helping us with shared revenue or sales tax or better infrastructure bills? This came up. So I want to tell you, I don't know if the 90th is just a bit more nerdy, they brought these issues up. I had students on campus talking about choice and LGBTQ protections and legalizing cannabis. I feel lucky. So my policy agenda, whether I liked it or not, is very much aligned with my community because I think we kind of feel the same kind of vibes.
So I would agree with everything you just said. However, with all the good things that need to be done and should be done, you've got to set priorities.
Correct.
You do. And some people get into politics in leadership positions and they really do nothing.
Yeah,
they try to do a lot of things, but at the end of the day, they've done nothing because they weren't focused. And leadership is, you know, having the vision, but building the team around it. And if you're a little bit of that, it just, everything goes up a little bit, but you know, nothing really is significant. So out of the things you just rattled through, and I would agree that the majority, well, obviously you won, of your district would agree with those things. housing is, tell me what your top priority is.
Top priority is,
because you're going to get put on a committee.
Oh yeah, right. And I can tell you the ones I'm interested in. We'll see what happens. Number one priority is figuring out housing and creating more solutions for municipalities to build more housing across the income spectrum.
Okay, I want to, all right, that's important because like these two young guys who help with this show, I mean, they need housing and right. homeless people need housing and people right. that maybe have a couple bucks like me would like to look at some different housing as well. Right. So
100% number one. The second is, and this is, you're going to probably appreciate this more than a lot of others. I want to help reduce property taxes by making sure that there's more revenue coming to municipalities to take on things like infrastructure, public safety. And I think that giving property tax relief in a time like this and using these funds to empower municipalities to reduce that amount of money mm-hmm. and make sure that basic services are expanded, not reduced, is just incredibly important. And third is around mental health and other issues connected to that. We're seeing a lot of folks struggle with this from homelessness to families, to depression, to drug abuse, to not getting the care that they need, taking care of their families.
That's no secret. But what's the solution? You know, I mean, we don't institutionalize people anymore, right?
Right. Actually, and that we should talk about that too.
We can. Housing, I think you're addressing. I think the problem with housing is we need more of it.
Yeah,
and
100%.
When you have a good supply, drives the pricing down,
absolutely.
Quality up because people are competitive. And,
correct.
I want to use that same analogy when we talk about schools in a second, but I would agree with that. But homelessness is something that I think...
It's more complex.
It's very complex.
Yeah. No, and I think that's why I like housing, because housing is the cornerstone to a larger economy, right? So one, you pointed this out, there are young people who need housing, but we have a workforce challenge here in Green Bay. We actually have more jobs than we have people mm-hmm. that can take those jobs. Part of that solution at every kind of job level is making sure that people can come and build a life they want to live here, whether they're single, young, relocating, going from a big house to a small house. The fact that we don't have that many options is actually affecting the growth of our economy, on top of things that if we don't have options for people who are struggling to be able to have stable mm-hmm. housing, they can't get the jobs and access to the services that they need. So I do think that it's complex, but I do think there are some through lines that we can do through public policy and happy. We could probably do a whole show just on all the different things I think within the housing realm that we can do that can touch on all these different issues that can bring different audience together. You know, homelessness, as you said, is complex. There's homelessness like me and my family, where we were sporadically without an actual place to live, but we were always in a shelter or a car, or we were in an apartment for 6 months or seven, and then we got kicked out, or it was a really crappy place, and we left because the heat didn't work for a year. And so how do we deal with those kind of homeless folks, folks who might be resistant to care and support, those who need a leg up and a hand up for a moment. And I do think we do not have as much robust support to do that. I will say, I think that one of the roles that I think local governments can play is they can do some of that work and not just completely privatize addressing homelessness. Right now, it is some of the purview of only faith-based groups and nonprofits. I think there is a role for the government to play in getting involved in partnering with these organizations, right. institutions, to do things like supportive housing, something that I know your institution is deeply thinking about, wow. new community shelter. I think that you need some government support. You shouldn't be just doing that all on your own. And so I think we have to get some champions there.
Okay, well, there's the challenge. I mean, we've written letters. We've asked. We've had. You were there for our legislative breakfast. But you got to make a decision and I think what government needs to do, as I said, is pick something and do it really, really well.
Yes.
Not say, well, you know what, you want $4 million, we're going to give $100,000 here and $200,000, and they spread it out throughout the state. It's like, that really doesn't get us what we need, you know? Let's put a significant amount in this, and we'll make you proud, and you can take this model and franchise it, replicate it throughout.
Just so you know, so we're doing the budget process right now, even though I'm the rep-elect, and just so you know, I'm doing a $250 million Build Wisconsin Housing Fund that we'll be able to fund different kinds of innovations like you're talking about across the income spectrum that supports public and private partnerships. And I'm going to be meeting with the governor to be pitching this. And there seems to be agreement across the aisle to have a large sum of money that can do these tips and nice things that people can apply for, that can incentivize these kind of thoughtful partnerships. We've never really had that. It's usually in fits and starts. It's usually tax credits. But having a $250 million fund that supports these kind of innovative partnerships that solve different parts of the spectrum and let's prove, let's make a case. Let's show people that a supportive and Hollywood model can work. Let's say that a mixed income neighborhood could work. Let's build some townhomes in Green Bay or in other communities and show how it can make a difference. So I agree with you. I think we have to be more outcome oriented, and I want to put the money in at the table that allows people to apply for it and come up with these partnerships and get funded.
Ask the governor for $246 million for your program and send $4 million to me.
Okay.
Because that's what we're short.
I wish I had that much power.
The other thing I think that government should do, and they don't, is you should claw back if they say they're going to do something and they don't.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
It's like, I will say that I'm a very...
Oh, we're a nonprofit. We don't have any money. It's like, yeah, you do. And we gave you $4 million because you said you're going to do this, this, and this. Here we are, the audit committee, 2 years later. It's not working. Now, either you make it work or we want our money back.
You and I speak a very similar language. And I think that there is something progressive about compassion and accountability. I think that we can lean into innovation and try things that might fail. And we should try to iterate and think through things. But I also think that some things are not going to work. And us just throwing money to burn at problems isn't necessarily the answer either. But I do think that we have to fund innovation and give room for people to pivot or try something they haven't tried before. But to your point, I think that also comes with accountability. If it didn't work, let us know it didn't work. We're not going to probably try this again. Let's try something different. But funding the same broken programs, we've seen that that doesn't work, right? We brought in social workers and different folks at the police department so we can deal with some of these problems. We can't just keep treating every problem like a nail and it only needs a hammer. And so I'm very interested in innovation to solving problems.
I love what I'm hearing. I don't think it's going to be as easy as you think, but I think you have the energy to make it easier than it's been for some other people.
Fair enough.
Okay.
I feel like that was very honest feedback. I appreciate that. I'm a deep, passionate idealist, and I wouldn't have done this if I didn't think I could at least try.
Right. So in your first term, which starts on the 6th, it's going to be a meeting with the governor, which I think is a great first step, and a meeting with our local representatives that are both Republicans and Democrats.
Correct.
I think that's a great first step. I'm giving you a couple first steps here. With a focus on housing, not just for homeless people,
right,
but for people like these guys sitting here, correct, who are 21, sleeping, right, in their parents' basement. You, right, know, these guys need an opportunity, right, to...
Or even folks that are aging and want smaller homes. They,
right,
have big homes now and they want smaller ones. We should be a community where you could thrive where however you want to live.
And not a big secret to... The demographics are the demographics. Now, we're, right, going to have more people moving here. I just want to comment on what you said about... housing, that's a need. Some of the other things that the constituents are telling you. I know a guy who ran for a big time job and went to a community and said, I'm going to create jobs. And they're like, we have enough jobs. We need people to take those jobs.
100% agree.
That's what we need. And housing is a big thing, amenities, and we're going to get to some of that. I want to talk about a couple projects across the river. I want to talk about the prison, a few other things that are needed right in this community that are kind of unique to us, yeah, but very important to us. We're going to be right back. Ahmad, thanks for being here. Stick around. We got one more segment with Ahmad Rivera-Wagner, Representative-elect District 90 for the state of Wisconsin.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Local with Jim Schmidt, a show where we just talk about what's going on locally. And I just want to thank our sponsor for this segment, Nicolet Bank. Just a great bank. I'm sure you know of them. They have 57 branches throughout Northeast Wisconsin, Central Wisconsin, the UP, Northern Michigan, and some in Eastern Minnesota. And that bank has been terrific. As I served this community, they were always someone we could count on for... You want that philanthropy, and you... Look, not not all banks are equal, not all restaurants are equal, not all car dealers are equal, but boy, do I go to the ones that gave back to the community. It just meant a little bit more to me, as it should to everyone. And you look at Nicolet's, just their mission statement is to serve our communities. I mean, that's a pretty good first sentence in your mission statement: to engage employees, build strong families within our organization, and have a positive impact on the lives we touch along the way. And that's the community, their employees. It's just a great bank, and they're a great sponsor. I think highly of what they do there, and I want to just give them that shout out. So in-house here, we have Ahmad Rivera Wagner, who is the elected official for District 90, state representative. And we're going through a lot of things, his background, which is super interesting. We want to talk a little about things that are locally here. And something that state government in the coming years, education and healthcare.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't talk enough about healthcare, but there's a couple hospitals that are on thin ice. And
yeah.
So I want to talk education. You talked about teachers need to make more money and we need more funding. But again, we talked and you agreed about accountability. Don't we need to focus on what's on the inside? I mean, if your test scores aren't 70% proficient, if you're not, ACT's not 23 or 22, you know what I mean? Sometimes it seems like, and they say, well, it's the family. I get that.
Yeah.
But it just seems like this accountability isn't as strong as I think it should be.
Well, I think it's hard to hold people accountable when they've never experienced being fully resourced, right? And so we've seen this from any other issue that we can talk about that we talked about today, right? It's hard to judge someone who is experiencing homelessness if they've never even had stable housing for them to get a job or get the services they need. And so I think too often, our schools, which have some of the most diverse populations around ability, around access, around how they've shown up or what languages they speak, have never truly been fully resourced in the recent times. And so before we tell them that they have to meet a standard, let's make sure that they have the basic necessities to do this. The idea in the 21st century that a teacher has to fund out of his or her pocket basic supplies for kids should be, you know, that should be an indictment against local government when that's happening. Yeah. And so I don't disagree with you. I think that once we get to a place where they have the resources they need, then we have to have a real conversation about, is what you're doing working, and do we have to revisit what needs to happen? But I just don't think we've gotten to the moment where they're starting on the same starting line as everyone else.
Okay. I'll give you that. I mean, you want some factory to make a widget, they got to have the tools to make the widget.
Right.
But once they do, there better be a damn good widget.
Absolutely. And if they're not making a good widget after they've been fully funded, I think we have to have a conversation about what to do differently.
So you're new, you haven't been sworn in yet, but healthcare is, we're known for healthcare in your district.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're a regional healthcare facility. Right. People from the UP come here and surrounding communities. You know, Manitowoc has pretty good, but you know, Kewaunee County and some of these other counties. It's great jobs, but yes. I'm not sure long term they're as profitable as they need to be. But again, your comments on healthcare.
So I should preface this with the reason I married a doctor. And so my husband works in healthcare in the area. So he's a health provider in many ways. I think that there is, again, everything's complicated. There's healthcare and insurance, which I think is something that we aren't talking about. And this is where the expansion of Badger Care and things of that nature make a difference. And I think a lot of people feel that insurance companies are not covering the things they need to cover, including oftentimes mental health support, right? So there's the actual issue with health insurance. And then there is like the model of healthcare. And then there is the staffing of healthcare. So that's just in a high level, we have a staffing issue. We actually don't often have as many healthcare providers from doctors to PAs. We aren't producing enough for the actual needs of our community. And that in itself is a challenge. And we often talk about the insurance access point, which we're still having debates about, but we haven't really built up the actual workforce to actually provide these services. So we have a challenge there. Then we actually have, are these healthcare models, the hospitals themselves, are they good businesses? Should they be profitable? Should they not be profitable? What does it look like if there is or isn't corporate greed in the actual running of a hospital? And then there is access. Do you have the health insurance? Is health insurance actually covering the things that we need to cover? And are we standing in the way of coming up with a better efficient system like we have been, where we haven't expanded Badger Care, which actually is costing taxpayers more money to cover basic services and we're covering less people? So I just want to say,
do you know a lot about that? Because I don't. And I read about it. It's like, I don't like leaving money on the table. That's like not right. my DNA, right? Oh, if the money's there, I want to put it to use and whatever I can do, grow it 40, 50, as much percent as I can. So that whole Badger Care, and you're thinking, tell me what you said about Badger Care again. I want to hear this.
So essentially, the federal government at some point in time expanded this option, and they said that they wanted states to opt in and out.
Right.
If you opt in, it expands the amount of people who could do it, but it ever also covers more of the cost of those associated with it. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting, this is like the oversimplification. Mm-hmm. So, but the problem is that a legislature has to accept that kind of expansion. Our legislature has decided that they didn't want to do that for a variety of reasons, of which I don't understand. It's somewhat of a bipartisan thing. Again, this is often for the most poor people or the most struggling people where we cover a lot of those costs. This would be money on the table. We'd actually be able to cover more people and it would actually save us millions of dollars. So it is a fiscal responsibility thing. But you know how this works. Sometimes in politics, it's not about the numbers. It's about the feelings. And some people feel like it's a handout that the people don't deserve.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a silly leading.
You should get to know them. Hey, we got a minute left, but I got these two young people working in here.
Yeah.
Not that it's all about youth, but cannabis.
We should legalize it. We should do it soon. I think there's some real rules and regulations that we have to put in place. I think that we have to, you know, also talk about criminal justice reform connected to those who've been convicted on cannabis charges. I think we should have
medical. So not just medical. You're just talking about recreational.
I think we should have medical and I think we should have recreational. But I'm aboard with a phased approach that we start with medical and expand once we see the impacts and positivity of that. But I support full legalization.
We got to have you back. There's a few more things that I need to get to. Hey, I just... Thank you for being here, Mike. Congratulations again.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I love your show.
Great. Thank you. And we're looking forward to great things from Ahmad when you're down in Madison. You got a lot of work to do and you got the right attitude. So thanks for listening. See you next Sunday. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.